Hello, welcome to our home at home service. Once again, really, really good to have you and loving the momentum that we're picking up with regards to the word. Thank you so much for that wonderful welcome, and our worship team always, always continuing to inspire us to worship. I'm hoping we're knowing the words off by heart now. We can sing along to these songs, and as the Bible says, making melody in our hearts. We really want to just say today that we're going to continue in our vein as we've been talking about the weapons of our warfare. And we're going to continue in that. And I've got a really interesting title today. It's actually When Necks Become Footstools. When necks, as in that little bit between your head and your torso, become footstools. We just want to recap, actually. We've been talking about the ecclesia and who we are in God, and how our weapons aren't natural, but they are mighty and they're powerful to putting down strongholds. And when we understand how they operate, we will then know that we have a God who, through Jesus Christ, has amassed an army of angels who fight on our behalf and who deal with the struggles that we encounter. And so the ecclesia, we've declared, it has a responsibility. And this is what it says. The ecclesia was an assembly of competent citizens of a region who met at regular intervals to govern. This was done by a verbal yes or no, or upraised hands. Their sphere of influence included decisions on suggested laws and final decisions on only any new law. They would appoint people to official positions, both internal and external policies in the region, including contracts, treaties, war and peace, and financial matters. And the ecclesia would also deal and rule on cases of treason. It could summon for its army to assemble for war, you know, and then also the ecclesia ruled a societal and cultural matters for its geographical location or territory. And the ecclesia also chose by upraised hands and would sit and basically approve and deal with governmental matters. So that's who the ecclesia is in Christ, that we have this responsibility. And you can see from our previous message where we talked about the sitting on the rock, Jesus himself, the rock, and Moses, who had his hands held up by Aaron and Hur, and what it means that we make decisions. And it says here the ecclesia does that by the lifting and raising of hands. And we know that to be worship and expressions of giving God glory, because he teaches our hands to war. And so we're going to continue to look at another aspect of our weaponry. I love this verse, Hebrews 1 verse 14, and we see here that it says, "Are not all angels ministering spirits sent out by God to serve, accompany, protect those who will inherit salvation?" So we are declaring and understanding here that we have a battalion of angels that fight on our behalf as we decree and declare, and we've established that. One of the things that we're able to do through Christ is our enemies are made into footstools. Let's talk about a footstool. In ancient footstool symbolism today, a footstool is used for relaxation, and many of us have them in our homes, but at that time, a footstool represented power. This is when we're looking at the biblical context. It represented power. Archaeologists have discovered artwork, look at this, from ancient Egypt that depicts Pharaoh sitting on his throne with his feet resting on his enemies, who are stacked one on top of the other. You see, this was the principle that the Bible is talking about, that when we are in battle, God is declaring that he will make our enemies a footstool. And we see here this happened with the Assyrians, who's we're told here, war relief shows the king putting his feet on the head of a conquered enemy, cowering in the dirt below him. This is why it says in Psalms 110, verse 1, "The Lord, which is the Father, says to my Lord Messiah, sit on my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. In other words, subjugating them into complete submission. That's the Amplified version. I love also what it says in the Message, the word of God to my Lord, sit alongside me here on my throne until I make your enemies as a stool for your feet. This is what we're talking about. We're told that the historic representation is a king with his foot on the necks of his enemy as a means of overcoming the challenge and victory. And so today we are talking about when necks become footstool. And we want to look into the passage of Joshua, Joshua 24. And we're going to look at this passage. Now, Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, heard that Joshua had taken Ai and totally destroyed it, doing to Ai, its king, as he had done to Jericho and its king, and that the people of Gibeon had made a treaty of peace with Israel and had become their allies. So this is now the people of Gibeon in support of and being teamed up and colluding now with the children of Israel. And Adonai Zedek was so against this because Joshua now and this group of people were a threat to them. Verse 2. And it says, and his people were very much alarmed at this because Gibeon was an important city, like one of the royal cities. It was larger than Ai, and all its men were good fighters. So this was a concern because these people now were good fighters. If they join with Joshua, this is now a threat to Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem. And he appealed to Hoham, king of Hebron, and Piram, king of Jarmuth, and Japhia, king of Lachish, and Debir, king of Eglon. And he appealed to all these kings because now these amazing individuals who could fight very well had teamed up with Joshua and they felt like, hold on a minute, we've got to put a stop to this. So they've grouped together to come up against Joshua. And it says here, come up and help me attack, he says, Gibeon, he said, because it has made peace with Joshua and the Israelites. Verse 24 says, when they had brought these kings to Joshua, he summoned all the king of Israel and said to the army of commanders who had come with him, come here and put your feet on the necks of these kings. So they came forward and placed their feet on their necks. So what we're looking at here was Joshua overcame these individuals. And verse 24 now tells us what exactly took place, that when they came up against Joshua, Joshua defeated them. And then as we saw in the example, he calls them and says, now put your feet on their necks. This is what is called making your enemies your footstool. People are going to try and gang up around you and come against you, but God is saying he will make them a rest for your feet. Tell the person next to you, put your feet up. God has a plan to overtake your enemy. Now, the neck here refers to the collection of structures that connect the head to the torso. We're seeing how important the neck is. It is a complex structure of many bones, muscle, nerves, blood vessels, lymphatics, and other connective tissues. It's the cervical spine is the bony part of the neck. Its primary function is to support the skull while still allowing for movement. So again, it's this stabilizing factor, but also allows for agility. It is the most flexible part of the spine. This is the neck. This flexibility allows for large movements to scan as we do our surroundings. Most sensory inputs occur at the head. Thus, proper neck movement is vital to survival. So we're seeing here how critically important the neck is that your head is only connected to the rest of your body via the neck. And God is saying here that he is prepared in fighting on our behalf to make our enemies' necks a footstool. That's what he's talking about. So that he cuts off their supply, their strength. And so I want us to read here, and we're going to look at this God of angel armies in Kings 6, verse 8 to 23. Second, this is Kings 6, verse 8 to 23. One time when the king of Aram was at war with Israel, after consulting with his officers, he said, "At such and such a place, I want an ambush set." The holy man sent a message to the king of Israel, "Watch out when you're passing this place, because Aram has set an ambush here." So the king of Israel sent a word concerning the place of which the holy man had warned him. This kind of thing happened all the time. The king of Aram was furious, because now what we have here, we've got this prophet Elijah who is getting insight from God and is now revealing the strategies of this king Aram. And as I said, verse 11, the king of Aram was furious over all this. He called his officers together and said, "Tell me who is leaking information to the king of Israel? Who is the spy in our ranks?" Because God was revealing to Elisha, who was then sharing with the king what the strategies from the opposition were. And here King Aram is upset. Who's the traitor? Who's the mole? Not knowing that God is all knowing, he sees all things. There is nothing hidden from him. Can I tell you, there is no enemy that's coming against you that God is not aware of. There's no strategy and plot that is going against you that God is not aware of. And look at this. "But one of his men said, 'No, my master, there's no traitor here. Dear king, it's not any of us. It's Elijah, the prophet in Israel. He tells the king of Israel everything you say, even what you whisper in your bedroom.'" This is how intrusive God is, because he is all knowing. "The king said, 'Go and find out where he is. I'll send someone and capture him.' The report came back and he's in Dothan. And then he dispatches horses and chariots, an impressive fighting force. They came by night and surrounded the city." So they think they've got a strategy together. "We know where this leak is coming from. We are going to put a stop to it." Do you know how many times many of us are in those positions? Have you been in that position where there's something against you and you're thinking, "God, how am I going to get through this?" But what I can tell you is that our God knows the ins and outs of every strategy that the enemy has, and all the plans will come to nothing. And this is what happens here. The report came back saying he's in Dothan. Then he dispatched his horses and chariots, an impressive fighting force. They came by night and surrounded the city. Verse 15, "Early in the morning, a servant of the holy man got up and went out. Surprise horses and chariots surrounding the city. The young man exclaimed, 'Oh, master!'" Look, some people are going to panic. "But when you know who you serve, you can hold your peace." He says, "Oh, master, what shall we do?" Verse 16. And he said, "Don't worry about it." It's like that little song. "Don't worry about a thing, because every little thing is going to be all right." Why? Because God is with us. And this is what Elijah is saying. And he says, "Look, don't worry about it. There are more on our side than on their side." Hallelujah. Then Elijah prayed, because this guy can't see it. And there are certain things you can't see, but God is working behind the scenes on your behalf, and he's working for your good. And Elijah prayed, "Oh God, open his eyes and let him see." The eyes of the young man were opened, and he saw a wonder, the whole mountainside full of horses and chariots of fire surrounding Elisha. You see, when you know God is with you, you have no fear. You can relax and be at peace because God is fighting for you. Hallelujah. I wonder if you would just allow God to fight for you and trust his plans that he has for you is to bring you to a good and perfect end. Verse 18, when the Arameans attacked Elisha, Elijah prayed to God, "Strike these people blind." And God struck them blind, just as Elijah said. So look at this. What is Elijah doing? As an ecclesia constituent, he's declaring. He's declaring, God, this is what I want you to do. In other words, bind their sight. Remember we talked about binding and loosing, that God is waiting for us to do that in his name on earth, so his will manifest on earth as it is in heaven. Elijah says, look, you know, God, right now, blind them. And God struck them blind, just as Elijah said. And then Elijah called out to them, not that way. Not this city, follow me and I'll lead you to the man you're looking for. And he led them to Samaria. So they can't see. And now he's basically leading them because they realized, I'm thinking, oh, this is not Elijah. And he's leading them to another city. And he led them into Samaria. Verse 20, and as they entered the city, Elijah prayed, oh God, open their eyes so they can see where they are. And God opened their eyes and they looked around and they were trapped in Samaria. You see, God will blind your enemy that they have no clear route, no clear path. In fact, he will block whatever they are doing so that you will triumph. And verse 21, when the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elijah, Father, shall I massacre the lot? In other words, they're at our mercy. They were trapped. God had hatched a plan, and in obedience to the declaration of Elijah, they were blinded and could not fend for themselves. But here we see that at the mercy of Israel, that grace is what it flows from Elijah. Verse 22, he says, because when the king said, look, shall we massacre the lot? Verse 22, not on your life, said Elijah. You didn't lift a hand to capture them, and now you're going to kill them? No, sir. Make a feast for them and send them back to their master. You see, God has a way of disarming us. Look at what's happening here. Do we not say that our weapons are not fleshly or carnal, but they are mighty, they're counterintuitive? What does Elijah do? He blinds them through a declaration, and God acts on that declaration. He takes them to a place where they're now trapped in Israel's territory. And what does he do? He, instead of agreeing with the king and looking to massacre them, he pours grace upon them. He in other words, he destroys them with peace. Not on your life, he says. And he goes on to say, no, sir, make a feast for them and send them back to their master. So he prepared a huge feast for them. After they ate and drank their fill, he dismissed them. And they returned home to their master. The raiding bands of Aram didn't bother Israel anymore. Can you see how the Prince of Peace fights completely in a counterintuitive way, because our weapons are powerful and mighty? And so sometimes you are trying to be very angry or very aggressive, and God is saying, no, let peace reign. You remain at peace and watch me fight your battle. I love that very old song. It talks about, if I only hold my peace, then the Lord will fight my battle. I wonder if this week you can experience that that enemy that is fighting you becomes a footstool, becomes a rest position for your neck. I wonder if you can put your feet up this week and know that God has already won the battle, that the battle is not yours, it belongs to God. It's so amazing to know that we have a battalion of angels, that there is more with us, more with you than are against you. So put your shoulders up and sit up and take the confident position of being a son of God, of being a child of God, and knowing that he is fighting for you and that there is no weapon forged that can triumph over him. So today, I want you to know that you can live a life where necks become footstool, where your enemies are subdued because you put your confidence in a God who is victorious. I want you to understand that our God is a deliverer. He's a savior. And this is the journey we are on. We are getting the understanding that if our God is a deliverer, then we are his sons. We too need to be walking in the ministry of deliverance. And we'll be looking at more as to what the angel armies do on our behalf. You are not alone. We'll see so many examples in the Bible where God lets us know that we have an artillery. We have weapons of warfare. We have soldiers. We have company. You are not alone. Maybe right now you need to remember that victory that was already won. And when you thought it could never happen, through God, it happened. Why? Because our God is always fighting for us. He says, vengeance is mine. I will repay it. And when he wins, it is unilateral. It is overwhelmingly powerful. And it leads to peace. Can I encourage you to sleep tonight? Can I encourage you to take a position of rest and maybe just literally put your feet up? Just like this. Kicking my mic now. Look. I wonder if this could be the position that you're in today. Because when you allow God to fight your battles and you put your feet up, you're letting him know that you trust him. And he will work all things out so that you receive the victory and he gets all the glory. I want to encourage you today that the battle is not yours, but it is the Lord's. Make this battle a moment where necks become footstools. May God bless you.